So numerous studies have reported aquatic insect predators to be effective predators of mosquito larvae. However, most of these studies also report that they might have limited use in biological control for two reasons. One, they're polyphagous, so they're likely to eat anything they find. And two, there's a lot of problems associated with production, storage, and release of aquatic insect predators, mostly because they're cannibalistic. Dytiscid beetles in particular have been commonly reported as effective predators of mosquito larvae. Both the adults and larvae are predaceous, and the eggs of some genera, such as Agabus, which is pictured down here, hatch when first instar mosquitoes are relatively abundant. So therefore, they might be important in suppression of mosquito populations. I've been working in the Jackson Lane constructed wetlands for the past few years, which are located on the eastern shore of Maryland. And in these wetlands, we find two species of Agabus that are abundant from February until May, and they reach densities of up to 164 individuals per square meter. We also find a relatively low larval mosquito abundance during this time. So I was interested in if these Agabus beetles might be important for suppression of mosquitoes in these constructed wetlands. I did some preliminary work where I did no choice tests to see what larval Agabus would eat, and I found that they are indeed polyphagous. They'll consume mosquito larvae, copepods, and ostracods in no choice tests. But in 24 hours, the mortality rate was highest for mosquito larvae. The copepods and ostracods had a far lower mortality rate. I also found that when two predators were present feeding together, mortality rate of all prey was decreased, which suggested that there might be some negative interactions going on between these beetle predators. So the objectives of this study was first to determine prey selection and negative predator-predator interactions for these two larval dytiscid beetles, Agabus punctatus and Agabus disintegratus. And I also wanted to assess their potential contribution to suppression of mosquito populations in constructed wetlands. So I used a whole series of lab microcosm experiments. My experimental units were these 300 milliliter plastic cups that I filled with filtered wetland water and a plastic aquarium plant to provide some structure. I worked with both of the predators that I mentioned before, and I used three different prey to represent the community of prey found when Agabus are present: mosquito larvae, copepods, and ostracods. For the first experiment, I wanted to look at selection and ask, do Agabus exhibit selective predation of mosquito larvae over microcrustaceans? So I wanted to do choice tests. I set up two different prey treatments, the first with 20 mosquitoes and 10 microcrustaceans, and the second with 10 mosquitoes and 20 microcrustaceans. I crossed this and did this for each predator type, and I did 5 replicates of each treatment. So I allowed predators and prey to interact for 24 hours. I counted the number of each prey type the predators consumed. And sort of my null hypothesis was that if selective predation was not occurring, the beetles were expected to consume prey in the proportions that were offered. So I did find evidence for selective predation because results from a chi-square analysis showed that mosquito larvae were consistently consumed in higher proportions, which are these observed bars, than were expected. And these differences were significant for 3 out of the 4 treatments. So this to me was evidence that selective predation was occurring. So I was then interested in getting at some of the mechanisms behind this selection. And I first asked if Agabus perform better in terms of growth when they feed on this prey they're selecting. So I had 3 different prey treatments: mosquitoes, copepods, and ostracods. I worked only with Agabus disintegratus for this experiment, but I did 5 replicates of each treatment. And what I did was I photographed the beetle larvae before and after they fed for 9 days on one of these types of prey. And I used analysis of covariance to test for the effect of prey type on the final size of the beetle larvae using initial size as the covariate. So what I found was that at day 0, as expected, the beetles were all about the same size. But after 9 days of feeding, those that fed on copepods or mosquito larvae had a significantly larger thorax plus abdomen length. The beetles that were feeding on ostracods displayed pretty much little to no growth. So this to me suggested there may be some sort of nutritional reason that copepods or mosquitoes may be more profitable for these beetles. I also wanted to look at some of the behavioral interactions of agibus with its prey to figure out if the prey they're selecting are potentially easier for them to capture. So again, I tested all these three prey types, worked with agibus disintegratus for this, and did 8 trials. I observed the beetles interacting with each prey type for 10 minutes, and during that time, I recorded the number of encounters, attacks, and captures. And I compared these among the prey types using ANOVAs. So what I found was that the number of encounters was greatest for ostracods. So mosquitoes and copepods demonstrated some sort of predator avoidance. The ostracods did not. However, the beetles did not discriminate between prey before attacking. They attacked them all in equal proportions. And in terms of captures, most of the time when they would capture a mosquito larvae, it was successful and they would consume it. There was a lot of variation in terms of capture rate with copepods, but the ostracods were often immediately rejected, which sort of indicated that they may have some sort of defensive compound or they just are not preferred by these predators. So for the last experiment, I wanted to get at some of these negative predator interactions and look at interguild predation and cannibalism between these species and within these species. So I had 3 different treatments, 2 agibus punctatus, 2 agibus disintegratus, and 1 of each. I did 18 replicates of each of these treatments, and I recorded the occurrence of cannibalism or interguild predation every 24 hours for 18 days. And I used a chi-square analysis to test if the frequency of cannibalism and interguild predation differed, and to determine if interguild predation was symmetric, meaning if one species was or was not dominant over the other. So the results, cannibalism and interguild predation were very common. It was slightly less common in Agibus disintegratus. The species tended to be slightly less aggressive than Agibus punctatus. But I did find that interguild predation was completely symmetric. So one of these species was not dominant over the other in these negative predator interactions. So just to summarize the results that I found, in the lab I did find that agibus exhibited selective predation of mosquito larvae, and this was due to the possible mechanisms of profitability of prey or the fact that mosquitoes were easier for them to capture. I also found that interguild predation and cannibalism were common. So lab studies such as the ones that I did can sort of begin to answer some of the questions about using aquatic insect predators for biological control of mosquitoes. But of course, what's really important is what's going on in the field. So as I stated at the beginning, these beetles reach densities of up to 164 individuals per square meter. So they could be contributing to suppression of mosquito populations if their selection of mosquitoes is translating into the field. At the same time, high enough densities could lead to interguild predation and cannibalism, which is going to diminish any impact of selective predation. So with this knowledge, we can now work to design appropriate field studies to test some of these hypotheses in these constructed wetlands. So using agibus as agents for mosquito biological control, I would argue that what we should do for now is focus on conservation biological control. So as I said, they do exhibit the selective predation, and this is not characteristic of a lot of other biological control agents for mosquitoes, such as mosquito fish, which tend to be more generalist predators. Also, these beetles can be sustained on alternative prey if mosquitoes are not present. And they occur in high enough densities that they could indeed be important for mosquito suppression. So what we can do is design appropriate wetland management strategies based on the ecology of predators to hopefully maintain populations of agibus and therefore suppress mosquito populations. So I would like to thank the University of Maryland Department of Entomology and the LAMP Lab, especially my master's advisor, Bill Lamp. And I'd also like to thank my master's thesis committee, Mike Ralph and Brett Kent. And I will take questions. Yes?
Hey, I was wondering whether management of fish that might feed on, dicycids would be sort of a component of your wetland management.
Certainly. So the question was whether or not the management of fish could be important in my wetland or my idea of wetland management strategies. So I think it's very important because a lot of the times fish in wetlands will preferentially feed on these larger predaceous aquatic invertebrates. So fish might actually be bad for mosquito suppression. And some studies with Gambusia have shown that when Gambusia are present, mosquito populations can actually be greater than when the mosquito fish is absent. So, other questions? All right, thank you.